Psalms 145. Psalms 145. We're going to read this. Read this chapter here real quick. It's a short chapter. It won't take us long. And the subject of the message this morning, as we continue on with the message last Sunday and Sunday afternoon, is considerations of the kingdom. We want to see what the Bible says about the kingdom. And we saw last time and tried to lay out last Sunday afternoon, tried to lay out physically, kind of explained it Sunday morning, laid it out physically for some things for consideration about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of heaven as it's referred to. And we want to learn about the kingdom. It's interesting that when we go to the scripture and we see what the scripture has to say, it has a lot to say about the kingdom. And it's been a thing that I would read a passage and I know what that means, and then just kind of skip over it. The words are there, but never have focused on it like this, and we want to do. And so we want to, in this consideration of the kingdom this morning, we'll get to what our focus in the kingdom is about. Here in Psalms 145, verse number 1, David writes his psalm of praise. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. You can't find it all out. You start writing an outline, and you start writing it down, and you start noting it. What was it that John said? If everything about the Lord Jesus Christ would be written, the world would not be able to contain the books. I mean, he's unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another. Why? Because a generation will pass, and that generation should be telling it to the next generation coming on. Always with the Lord, there's a consideration of the generation to come, the generations to come, and we need to have that. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord's working in so many ways. The Lord is gracious, verse 8, full of compassion. Praise God, slow to anger and of great mercy. And if you're here and you're not saved this morning, you need to consider that verse. He's given you time. He's given you time to hear His message, His word. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom. You hear that? That's what we need to be thinking about and need to be pursuing and consider in the subject of the message this morning in our consideration of the kingdom. He says here, all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power to make known to the sons of men. There's a distinction there, isn't it? Right? There's a distinction there. The sons of men and the saints, right? The saints need to be speaking about this. Make known to the sons of men His mighty acts and the glorious majesty of His kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Right parallel with what Daniel said, huh? Generation to generation, everlasting to everlasting. Right up here, everlasting to everlasting. That's what Brother Mark was illustrating this morning. That's how big the Lord's dominion is. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him and to all that call upon him in truth. You hear that? Receive the Lord on His terms, His word, His message, His gospel. Don't quarrel with God, but receive it as He has said it. He is nigh unto all them that call upon Him and to all that call upon Him in truth. You can't take the Lord's salvation and twist it your way. It's His way. Or it's death for sure. Destruction, misery, and woe. He will fulfill, verse 19, the desire of them that fear Him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love Him, but all the wicked will He destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever. Out of this passage, wanted to read the whole thing. There, the key of what we want to consider here is what's going on in verse 11, 12, and 13. They shall speak, thy saints, in verse 10, they shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power to make known to the sons of men His mighty acts and the glorious majesty of His kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, thy dominion, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the day, and we praise Your name, Lord, for Your people, faithful and to come together and to assemble, to worship You today. Lord, I thank You for my brothers and sisters in Christ and the way that You've helped us and the way You've blessed us and been with us here at Olmsted Baptist Church. Lord, help us that we might put away all the cares of life, all those things that distract us and beset our hearts and minds. Lord, help us to put all that away and, Lord, just to focus upon You and what You're saying unto us. Lord, take me out of the way. Help me to speak. And Lord, we pray for those that are here this morning and not saved, Lord, that they might see Jesus precious to the salvation of their souls. Lord, that they might understand and know that that is the most important thing that they have in their existence, is, Lord, the salvation of their souls, the salvation of them. We pray that You would work in it and bless. And Lord, grant ears to hear and eyes to see. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. Here, the psalmist David, he says, we need to be speaking about these things of the Lord and His greatness and His mighty acts. What we want to consider this morning is about the kingdom, that there is a message. There is a message that is to go forth in the kingdom of God. There is a message. There is a gospel. There is something that is here that is a part of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Christ that is to go forth. You know, there's a lot of messages that are sent out today. Advertising is full of messages, isn't it? And it's a message that's sent to us to cause us to take or buy that product, right? I mean, there's a lot of messages that go out. There's a lot of philosophy and a lot of antichrist and a lot of false doctrine and wickedness and those things that lie against the truth that go out there from different sources that want men, women, boys, and girls to be drawn into them. And those things lead to nothing but destruction. But here, it says that the saints have a message, and that message is speaking of the glory of thy kingdom. Turn to Matthew chapter 4. Let's take a look here and we'll take a walk through the Gospels and some other passages here. Let's just see what the pattern is here about this message of the kingdom. There is a message of the kingdom of God. In Matthew chapter 4, verse number 23, we pick it up here and the scripture says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee," not some of Galilee, but all of Galilee, right? "Teaching in their synagogues and preaching," what? "The gospel of the kingdom." The gospel of the kingdom. That's what He preached. "And He healed all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease among the people. And His fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto Him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and He healed them. And there followed Him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis," that's a region like Galilee is to the southeast of the Sea of Galilee, "and from Jerusalem," one down south in Judea, south of Samaria and down in Judea, "and from beyond, and from Judea and from beyond Jordan." And what's the Lord here? We see early in His ministry. This right here is in the beginning of His ministry. And what's He doing? He's preaching the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel, that is significant. In times past, when I've read over that, I would see the gospel and have understanding of that. But I wouldn't consider about that it is of the kingdom. Of the kingdom. In Mark chapter 1, verse number 14, the scripture says, "And now after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God." We saw last time that any reference to the kingdom in the scriptures in the New Testament, whether it be the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of Christ, speaking about the same thing. In Luke chapter 4, take a look over here. I'm going to keep you busy this morning. Luke chapter 4, verse number 43. Hear the Lord Jesus Christ. This is after his preaching in Nazareth, if you remember that, at his hometown, and they rejected him. And then he's preaching in Capernaum after the healing of Peter's mother-in-law. And in verse number 43 of Luke chapter 4, it says, "And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent." The gospel of the kingdom. It must be preached. It must be heralded. And the Lord Jesus Christ, from the beginning of his ministry on, it was of great importance to him, and it was key and at the forefront of what he came to do. Matthew chapter 9. Here in verse number 35, we pick it up. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 35. "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages," here it confirms it, "teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them." That's what we need to have, is we need to have compassion, "because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And then saith he to his disciples," he came preaching, what's it say? The gospel of the kingdom. He continued on. This is further on down in the Lord's ministry. And he says, this is after the healing of the woman with the issue of blood. And after raising Jairus' daughter from the dead there in Capernaum, as it says, it mentions earlier in the chapter. And he says here that he says, "I've got to go other places and preach this gospel of the kingdom." He had compassion on the people, and then he turns to his disciples and he says, "Listen, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." How much harvesting are we doing? How much pursuit, as Olmsted Baptist Church, are we pursuing to harvest? Now, we have no control over the salvation of souls, but we do have control over spreading the seed. Amen? We've got control over taking that gospel of the kingdom and preaching it and teaching it and telling it. We've got control over that because that's our responsibility. It's my responsibility as pastor of this church. It's your responsibility as a member. We need to have compassion upon sinners and preach to them like Jesus did about the great gospel, the message, the word of the kingdom. Amen. The kingdom's coming, amen? Right. I mean, what is there if we considered? What is there? Well, as David, there in Psalms 145, as we read, what is there that's not under the dominion of the Lord? And what is the message that he has given to preach? What's this gospel? It's this good news of the kingdom, isn't it? It's a message. And I tell you what, brothers and sisters, the time is short and the end is drawing nigh, and we need to work while it's daytime. We need to work while it's daytime. And we need to speak to those that the Lord has put in our midst and in our way. We need to tell them like the Lord did about the gospel of the kingdom. In Luke chapter 8, we'll bounce back and forth between the Gospels here. In Luke chapter 8, look what it says in verse number 1. "And it came to pass afterward," Luke 8, 1, "and it came to pass afterward that he went," this is Jesus, "throughout every city and village." He said he must needs do it, and then he goes and it says that he does do it, "preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God." The gospel, the glad tidings, it's good news, isn't it? It's good news that Jesus is going to reign. It's good news that the Father sent His Son and the Son was willing to come to give His life a ransom for many. It's good news. It's a wonderful thing. It's a thing that should bring a smile upon our face. Do you ever get glad? Yeah, we get an extra check in the mail, we get glad, don't we? Well, I tell you why, there should be nothing that would make us more, this is bad English, more gladder. More glad than the gospel. the message of the kingdom. Amen? He said, and he did so. He went. He said he would go. He said he must needs to go. And he says, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. Same thing. And the 12 were with him. Here, it seems like he's still there in Galilee and Capernaum. And he is going out from Capernaum. It's kind of his headquarters for a while, and goes out to those different cities. He goes to Nain. He goes, started out and went back to Nazareth, to his hometown. He went to different cities, and he would preach to them, didn't he? He preached to them this great, wonderful message. In chapter 9, in verse number 1, it says here, then he called, in Luke 9, verse 1, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. This is a special group that the Lord is going to use. They are called apostles in other places in the scripture for the work that the Lord has for them. Listen to verse 2, what it says. And he sent them to preach what? The kingdom of God and to heal the sick. That's what the apostles, the first leadership in the church, I believe, aside from amongst men, that first leadership that the Lord placed there in the church, he told them, preach the gospel of the kingdom. You go out. That's the reason I've ordained you, is that you go out and you preach the kingdom of God to men, women, boys, and girls. This is also after the healing of that woman with the issue of blood and the raising of Jairus' daughter. And the 12 apostles are sent by the Lord to preach the same message that he's been preaching and teaching. There's an example there, isn't there? There's a pattern there. Jesus did it. He sent the first leadership in the church to do it. And he tells the church to go and do it. Matthew 13, the message, the gospel of the kingdom, our consideration of that here this morning. Matthew 13, verse number 1. The Lord is there by the seaside, and he gives them a parable about the sower. And we're not going to deal with that parable so much this morning. We'll do that at another time. And you know, I trust you know the account. There was that seed that was sown on four different kinds of ground. And there was a response or a working in each of those. And then that which fell on the good ground bore a diversity of a volume of fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100, but it all bore fruit. The disciples, they ask why the Lord speaks to the folks in parables, and he tells them why. It's a fulfilling of prophecy in Isaiah, and even otherwise, but for sure in Isaiah. And then in verse number 18, he tells his disciples about this parable. He explains it. He expounds it unto them. And I tell you what, the blessing that we have in having the Word of God, we have all accounts. You that are here and not saved, you've got the full account of the Word of God in the Bible. You're blessed to see both sides of it. You're blessed to see the parable that's given, and even the explanation is there for you to read. Tell you what, there's not a better day, and of course the day in which we live is the day that the Lord has appointed us to live, but I tell you what, there's no better day in the blessing of the freedom of the Word of God that we have in this day and in this country. Tell you what, you need to heed what the Lord says in His Word. In verse number 18 of this chapter, in Matthew 13, the Scripture says, the Lord says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Listen, and when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, they hear it with this ear. Okay? They hear the, why? Because that's what the sower is sown, the word of the kingdom. And understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. He explains that part of it. But look what the seed represented. It was the preaching of the kingdom, wasn't it? That one on that ground didn't understand it. And when they didn't understand it, Satan came and scooped it up and took it away. I tell you what, brothers and sisters, that should show us and so impress us about the need of sowing the seed. Satan is out there scooping it up and taking it away. I know the Lord's in control of things, but this is what the Lord has told us this parable means. The seed goes out and folks don't understand it, and Satan is there. He's scooping it up and taking it away. May God help us that we be throwing it back. You know what? Who can break up and make road pack fallow ground? It's God Almighty, amen? And you know what? That's none of our business. we're not in the breaking up business, are we? We're in the sowing the seed business, amen? One man plants, one man waters, but God gives the increase, and He's able to do it, and we need to believe Him. Rather than just lay back and say, well, Lord's coming back soon, and, you know, just nobody's hearing, nobody comes to services, you don't hardly get a visitor. No, we need to look to God and believe Him and take Him at His word. Who knows what the Lord will do? We need to be found faithful in following Him. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Back over here in Luke chapter 9. There is a message. And it is the message of the kingdom. It's the gospel of the kingdom. We've seen the glad tidings of the kingdom. It's all the same thing. In Luke chapter 9, verse number 57, Luke 9, 57, the scripture says, "And it came to pass as they went by the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Doesn't sound too promising, does it? Jesus didn't even have a house. He maybe had according to this, he may not even have had a bedroll. And we've got blessing on top of blessing. Who of us slept outside last night because we had to? Who of us didn't have air conditioning? Very few, if any. And the Lord says, I don't even have a place to sleep. May the Lord help us. And He says, it says here, the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Verse 59, and he said unto another, follow me. And he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Wait till daddy dies, and then I'll take up and I'll follow you. Listen to what Jesus says. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. This is a man that we don't know if he'll be a leader in the church. We don't know if he'll be a preacher or a pastor. But on the front end of the Lord saying, follow me, he said, go preach the kingdom of God. He said, you need to love me more than you love your folks. This man wanted to stay with his folks till they died, and then take up and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 59, he said to another, follow me. But the man says, no, I've got other stuff I've got to do first. That's an idol, brothers and sisters. You that are here and not saved, the Word of God's coming to you. The Lord says, follow me, repent of your sins, trust in me. Yeah, but I have to give this up, or I have to give... You got the wrong focus and the wrong understanding. You need Jesus. And he commands you to repent and believe. Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also in verse 61 said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at my home and my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Go preach it. Go walk in it. Go follow it. Matthew chapter 24. Here we're coming on to the end of the Lord's ministry. We've seen from the beginning of the Lord's ministry towards the end, to the end of the Lord's ministry. The Lord Jesus Christ said this gospel must be preached. This gospel, this word of the kingdom, this glad tidings of the kingdom, it must be preached. This kingdom has a message. And when we as the Lord's people, the Lord's children, especially in His church, we've been commissioned to go and preach this message to a lost and dying world. Here it shows the intent of what the Lord Jesus Christ had ministered in and what He tells His church to do. In Matthew chapter 24 here, and Brother Mark covered through here about some things coming in the last times relative to Israel and relative to the Lord dealing with nations. And it says in Matthew chapter 24, verse number 8, we pick it up, "All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, pardon me, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." I believe that's leaning more towards the Jews, but there's a parallel there amongst all the Lord's people in the world. But I think it's end time events and namely leaning towards Israel. "And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." And may God help us that we not become cold and indifferent to lost sinners in our midst and that we come in contact with, that we not share with them the gospel of the kingdom. Amen? We need to. It's up to us. It's in our mouth. And we need to do so. "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Speaking of the perseverance of the saints. Verse 14. "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end be." The Lord says this is going, it's going to happen. And what you and I need to do as the Lord's children, brothers and sisters, we need to decide, are we going to be used of the Lord to do it? Or are we just going to ride out on the blessings of the Lord and not open our mouth? May God help us. The Lord said, "My intent and my purpose is that this message, this gospel, these glad tidings, this word is going to be preached all over the world." That's what the Lord has told His church to do, isn't it? To preach the gospel to every creature. The Lord's teaching His disciples about these events for the nation of Israel and end time events. And He indicates that the end will not be until the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom is preached in all the world. We've been given privilege. We've been given the privilege to preach that gospel. Is there any means or any way, and we need to behave ourselves well, I know that, but is there any restriction that we should claim in doing not doing that? Is there any justification for us not preaching that gospel, that message? The Lord knew no restraint. He knew no restraint, did He? And may the Lord help us. You know, there's examples of this, that as the Lord was there in His ministry and He gave these commands to His disciples and His church, and then we see the brethren going on in the book of Acts, in verse number, or chapter 8, Acts chapter 8, we see that here the disciples, our brethren in the faith, they took the Lord up on what He indicated and what He commanded and what He said. And we see them doing that very same thing here. Brother Philip is here found doing this. And of course, he's one of the first deacons there at the church at Jerusalem. And we find him after being ordained to that work very soon in the Scripture, in the mention of the Scripture, we see him out doing this work. In Acts chapter 8, verse number 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, what's it say? And preached Christ unto them. He preached Christ. He preached salvation through Jesus Christ to those mixed Jews. They were part Gentile and part Jews. He preached Christ unto them. He didn't qualify it. He didn't hold it back even from them. The Samaritans, the pure blooded Jews, as they knew and thought, that the Samaritans were a reproach to them. They were nigh to an abomination to them because they were mixed in their blood. But Philip went and preached to him, didn't he? He preached to him Christ. And it goes on to say here, in verse number 6, "And the people with one accord gave heed to those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did." Verse 8, "And there was great joy in that city because of the salvation of the Lord and their believing." It tells about a man that he had trouble with here. And then it goes down to verse number 12. Listen here. "But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, They were baptized, both men and women. The preaching of the kingdom, the word of the kingdom, the gospel, the glad tidings of the kingdom, it's centered upon Jesus Christ. It's about Him and about what God has done with Him and through Him, and about Him coming to save sinners. In Acts chapter 20, we see here the Apostle Paul as he's heading towards Jerusalem. He's there with the brethren from Ephesus that he's called down to speak to them at Miletus. In verse number 25, verse number 21 of Acts chapter 20, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's preached. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide in me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. The apostle says, I've been preaching the kingdom of God amongst you. It's centered upon Jesus Christ, and it's telling about all those things. You think about all the things that the apostle preached under the saints there at Ephesus, and the accounts that we have in the scriptures and the epistles to the churches, preaching about the kingdom of God, about the kingdom of our Lord. Our brother, he got this from those disciples that were there in Damascus where he was saved. They preached it. And then he took it up and he preached it too. And we see here also in Acts chapter 28, the apostle and the account that we have that's near to the end of his life, there are those Jews there that he inquired with and asking them if they had heard about the things, if Jerusalem had complained to those at Rome about the Apostle Paul. And they said, no, we've not heard anything about what happened with you. And so we'll set a time and I'll tell you about it. In verse number 23 of Acts chapter 28, we see the apostle following the same pattern that the Lord had established about this preaching, extending the message of the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed him a day, verse 23 of Acts 28, there came many to him and to his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading and concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. He had a lot to say, didn't he? He had a lot to tell. And it was about the kingdom and telling about it, how that in Jesus Christ, all these things of the kingdom will be fulfilled and will be brought to pass. The salvation of sinners, the establishment of the Lord's church, the coming of the end of the age, and Jesus Christ coming and ruling and reign as King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen? He's there preaching that. He goes on in verse 30, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house. He's stuck there. He's waiting to see Nero in the case of his in his particular case, and that he has appealed to Caesar. He dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came unto him. And what did he do? Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. From when the Lord came, he came preaching those things. He gave it to his church. The brethren that the Lord put in His church, they continued on in it. We've seen these examples about that. So this message, this gospel, these glad tidings, this word, what is it really? What is it? What is what is it concise and consolidated? What is that message, that word, that gospel of the kingdom? What is it? Well, our brother alluded to it this morning. How are sinners saved? They've always been saved by grace through faith, through repentance and faith. It's always been, from the beginning, it's always been that God is the one that saves. In Genesis chapter 3, verse number 15, you know this. The Lord says to Adam and to Eve, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That's the gospel given to Adam and Eve that God was going to do. Because what did he say? I will. He says, and I will do this. In Genesis chapter 22, there with Abraham, it says in verse number 8 of Genesis 22, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And so they went both of them together. It's been the gospel. That's been the message of the kingdom. More and more and more opened and revealed over the course of time. All pointing to Jesus Christ. In Exodus chapter 12, there were the children of Israel. They're leaving. The Lord's preparing to take them out of Egypt. In Exodus 12:13, the Lord says, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. That's the gospel. That's the word of the kingdom, that it's in God. It's in His sacrifice, His provision. And Isaiah writes there, the Lord moves upon him in Isaiah 53. And in that whole chapter, he says, who hath believed our report, Lord? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He said, I've been preaching. And who's listening? Because it's such a wonderful, wonderful message. He shall grow up before him as a tender plant. He's despised and rejected of men. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. We looked on at Christ, Isaiah says, and he's been beat up by God. But why? Why would God pour out so much wrath upon him? Well, verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions, not his own. Isaiah says, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And goes on to say there that all we like sheep have gone astray, and we turn our own way and not to the Lord. And in spite of that, the Lord's laid on him the iniquity of us all, Isaiah said. The gospel of the kingdom. The word of the kingdom, the glad tidings of the kingdom. It goes on and says there in Isaiah that because of the Lord Jesus Christ's obedience and his atonement of him and offering of himself for us, not for himself, that he's going to be king and he's going to be great and he's going to have many, many children. Those that he would bring to salvation. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. The gospel. The gospel being revealed. The climax of it is summarized in 1 Corinthians 15. Turn over there. 1 Corinthians 15. I trust you know this passage well. I encourage you to turn there. And here we see this gospel, this word, this message, this glad tidings of the kingdom. Moreover, brethren, in verse number 1 of 1 Corinthians 15, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, the good news that the Lord's going to do something for sinners, do something for his people to redeem them and rescue them and save them. I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which ye also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Amen. Jesus came and he preached just that, didn't he? Amen. I'm going to lay down my life and I'm going to take it back again. I'm going to do that for my sheep. I'm going to do that for my people. He says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. It was prophesied, and he came and did it. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The Lord knew what he was going to do before he did it in time. It was prophesied, and he came and did it. And then there was a company of witnesses that confirmed his resurrection, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. You know, we, as the Lord's people, are be a witness of this gospel because through faith we have seen the Lord Jesus Christ. We weren't there to see him physically, but we see him through faith, don't we? I know that Jesus died for me that day. I know that he took his blood and he's washed my sins away. I know that he's coming back for me because he's done that for me and he saved my soul. He's visited me and made me his own. I tell you what, we need to be telling it. There's a warning. There's a warning of not heeding the gospel of the kingdom. In Matthew chapter 12, if you're here and you're not saved, listen to what the Lord says here. In Matthew chapter 12, verse number 41, the men of Nineveh, was that a wicked city? A wicked Assyrian town. No telling the wickedness that was there in that city. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The scripture says in regards to Sodom and Gomorrah, the same kind of indication that they will rise up in judgment against those that don't believe and hear the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom of God. A warning to you that are not saved, hear the gospel of the Lord. Hear this message that this kingdom has. It's a message, it's a gospel, it's good news, it's glad tidings. It's the way in which sinners, by the grace of God, can become children of the kingdom. You don't want to be a subject of the kingdom. You want to be a child of the kingdom, because in that there is eternal life. In that, the Lord will cause and make sinners to live forever. Live forever. In Jude verse number 8. Listen to how it is here. The gospel, the word, the message of the kingdom. Brother Jude is telling out here about those that creep in unawares. He commends and exhorts them about the common salvation. Sinners are saved the same way. He's looking to put them in remembrance, verse number 5. He reminds about the angels which left their first estate, those angels that fell with Satan. He reminds about Sodom and Gomorrah and the destruction that came upon them. In verse number 8, listen to what it says. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. If you're here and you're not saved, and you reject the message, the gospel, the glad tidings, the word of the kingdom, that's what you're doing. You're despising the dominion of the Lord. You're despising the great king that the Lord is because you are not believing the truth of his word. Remember, everything that comes out of the Lord's mouth is truth. And we, the created, are commanded to line up with it. Don't be a despiser of the message of the kingdom. You know, you think about what's the message? What other message is there other than the message of the kingdom? Well, it's the message of the world and of man and of Satan, isn't it? And I didn't reference that scripture, but what's it say? What's the Lord say about the way to hell? It's broad, isn't it? The message of the kingdom points out a narrow way, and that narrow way is Christ. But all other messages are broad. Whatever you want, you've got it. Pursue it. Live it up. You know what? Those ways, those messages, those other gospels, quote unquote, they lead to death. Considerations of the kingdom and the message of the kingdom.